Down the mountains. In anguish, he cracked open the earth. In agony, he let in the sea. His left hand flared and burned to ashes. The flesh on the left side of his face melted like wax, and his left eye boiled in its socket. With a great cry, he cast himself into the sea to quench the burning. But his anguish was without end. When Torak arose from the water, his right side was still fair, but his left was burned and scarred hideously by the fire of the orb. In endless pain, he led his people away to the east, where they built a great city on the plains of Meloria, which they called K'trol Mishrak, City of Night, for Torak hid his maiming in the darkness. The Angoraks raised an iron tower for their god and placed the orb in an iron cask in the topmost chamber. Often, Torak stood before the cask, then fled weeping, lest his yearning to look on the orb overpower him, and he perish utterly. The centuries rolled past in the lands of the Angorak, and they came to call their maimed god Kal Torak, both king and god. Belar had taken the Helons to the north. Of all men, they were the most hardy and warlike, and Belar put eternal hatred for Angorak in their hearts. With cruel swords and axes, they ranged the north, even to the fields of eternal ice, seeking a way to their ancient enemies. Thus it was until the time when Kerak Bareshoulders, greatest king of the Helons, traveled to the Vale of Aldur to seek out Belgarath, the sorcerer.
"The way to the north is open," he said. "The signs and the auguries are propitious. Now is the time ripe for us to discover the way to the City of Night and regain the orb from One Eye."
Poledra, wife of Belgarath, was great with child, and he was reluctant to leave her, but Kerak prevailed. They stole away one night to join Kerak's sons, Draz Bulnek, Algar Fleetfoot, and Riva Iron Grip. Cruel winter gripped the Northland, and the moors glittered beneath the stars with frost and steel-gray ice. To seek out their way, Belgarath cast an enchantment and took the shape of a great wolf. On silent feet, he slunk through the snow-floored forests where the trees cracked and shattered in the sundering cold. Grim frost silvered the ruff and shoulders of the wolf, and ever after the hair and beard of Belgarath were silver. Through snow and mist, they crossed into Meloria, and came at last to K'trol Mishrak, finding a secret way into the city. Belgarath led them to the foot of the Iron Tower. Silently they climbed the rusted stairs which had known no step for 20 centuries. Fearfully they passed through the chamber, where Torak tossed in pain-haunted slumber, his maimed face hidden by a steel mask. Stealthily they crept past the sleeping god in the smoldering darkness and came at last to the chamber where lay the iron cask in which rested the living orb. Kerak motioned for Belgarath to take the orb, but Belgarath refused.
"I may not touch it, lest it destroy me. Once it welcomed the touch of man or god, but its will hardened when Torak raised it against its mother. It will not be so used again. It reads our souls. Only one without ill intent, who is pure enough to take it and convey it in peril of his life, with no thought of power or position, may touch it now." "What man has no ill intent in the silence of his soul?" Kerak asked.
But Riva Iron Grip opened the cask and took up the orb. Its fire shone through his fingers, but he was not burned.
"So be it, Kerak," Belgarath said. "Your youngest son is pure. It shall be his doom, and the doom of all who follow him, to bear the orb and protect it."
And Belgarath sighed, knowing the burden he had placed upon Riva.
"Then his brothers and I will sustain him."